The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on through till 1. Open line today, so the floor's yours, whatever you want to talk about. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Talked a lot about the situation regarding the vote of the bishop in Tynwald yesterday, and still the comments continue to come in. But also this situation about the scam immigration company. Nelson dropped a note just to say it would be interesting to know, and obviously I think it's next Wednesday that this person gets sentenced and they may consider deportation, but it will be interesting to know how many illegals actually entered the island using the bogus company. It will be interesting to know. Anyway, thoughts on, and also what you can do if you suspect that somebody is coming to the Isle of Man illegally and working illegally. What should you do? I was asking about Christmas cards yesterday, bearing in mind it's 90p and going up next year, so get in quick, buy early for Christmas. 90p for Manx cards and £1 if you're sending them across. But still, that trade in the old cut rate stamp still continues from that company in Nottingham. Are they still valid? I still get stuff with those. I don't know about you. Here's Stella with us now. Hello, Stella.
Hello, Andy. I just wanted to talk about landlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, 2 years ago, I had a stroke, and I knew the symptoms weren't my usual symptoms of a migraine, and I picked up my mobile to phone 999, and it started moving about in my hand, and my hand was disappearing. And luckily for me, I had a landline, so I found my landline, and I knew from feeling where things were where 999 was on the right hand side. And I attribute that to partly saving my life. Apart from the really good care I got when I got to Nobles, and you know, from sort of realising I was having a stroke, I don't remember getting to Nobles or getting into Ward 7, but they, you know, they were brilliant there, and the aftercare I got as well when I was discharged. But the main thing is mobile phones. They're getting quite expensive as well for older people.
Good, great. Stella, I mean, can you remember what was going through your mind? It must have been awful.
What was going through my mind? I just thought I was having a migraine. I thought I'll go and get an Anadin upstairs, which I usually get for migraines. But suddenly the symptoms got much more severe, as I say. My hand wasn't there with my mobile in it, but I managed to get my landline and feel where 999 was.
Right.
So,
well, that's an advert for landlines, if ever I heard one, Stella.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, since then, I've learned a lot about how mobiles are very good. Like, I can, you know, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, got me set up with their Siri on the mobile light, and just say, Siri, call Sarah or somebody, you know. But I always have the mobile with me now. I always have, I now know that if I've always got the mobile with me, I can ask it to call 999.
How are you feeling these days, Stella?
Oh, I'm feeling fine. I'm learning because I'm partially sighted, which is another learning experience.
Right.
I'm doing a survey around Ramsey with me stick and trying to access the footpaths, and, you know, with all the unevenness of footpath.
Yeah.
things like that. It's all a learning curve, and now I'm involved with Site Matters, of course, that's brilliant as well. Such a good support for people with sight problems.
Right. So, Stella, tell me now, what's your advice to somebody? I mean, the thing is that you obviously knew what the symptoms were. At what point did you know you were having a stroke, by the way?
At what point? I know what my migraines were like.
Yeah.
I had a classic auras.
Yeah.
And there was... I started to have a very bad pain in my head. I knew it was more than a migraine.
So what would your advice be now to people who suffer from migraines and, you know, if something like that happens, is it getting Siri? Is it getting one of those automatic speakers? Would that be a good idea, do you think?
For people with migraines?
Yeah.
Yes, I suppose... Siri is good, but for getting if you've got the contact details on it.
Right.
I was thinking more. You know, this was a real emergency. This for me.
Have you still got your landline?
Yes, I'm using it now. It's in my hand, and it's so much easier to hold and talk to you because it's on loudspeaker.
Yeah.
So it's much better for me, and I'm sure there's a lot of people my age and so they're the same. They rely on their landlines because they know them so well.
But I have to tell you, I mean, they are fantastic at the stroke ward, aren't they, in the stroke rehabilitation unit.
Wonderful, yes, yeah.
Good.
Yes, a wonderful service we've got there.
Okay, all right, Stella, we appreciate the call today and thanks for alerting everybody to it.
Okay, thank you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks a lot. Right, it's 13 minutes past. All right, so they've just got a new rehab unit for stroke patients at Nobles, featuring therapeutic spaces, an upgraded bathroom area, and a redesigned courtyard to support patients in recovery. It's John Thomas, Dr. Thomas, is the consultant physician there as well. So we wish them well and... been around that a few times. Right, let's get to the lines again. David's on with us now. Hi, David. We'll try and find David in a while. I think we've... Have we got David now? No, we haven't got David. We'll try and find... Is David... Hi, David. No, we'll try and call. If we call David back, I think we've got an issue with one of our lines today. But the situation with the illegal aliens really coming in regarding this scam migration company. This guy's name is Sagar June, 25 years of age. He pleaded guilty in the Court of General Jail Delivery, a key figure in an international organised crime group who's been convicted of breaching the island's immigration laws. DHA said the case shows the Isle of Man won't tolerate abuse of the visa system there. This is between 2022 and 23, March 2022 and June 2023. So what's that? 15-odd months. He and others were found to have produced fake job offers and falsified entry certificates, charging victims up to £25,000 for visas linked to jobs that just didn't exist. It was just a scam. And a member of the public raised concerns, which led to a joint investigation between the Immigration Service and the Constabulary, and it uncovered this sham company called Destiny Manpower Consultancy. It was just a complete scam. They'd been used to deceive vulnerable people looking for work. These people shelled out up to £25,000 for jobs that just didn't exist. He's going to be sentenced next week on the 5th of November, appropriately, when the court will also consider deportation and exclusion orders. Now, if you suspect anything, you need to call the Home Affairs Department, 694-300. 694-300. The last thing we want are people here who don't qualify. Obviously, if somebody's coming to work, they've got a work permit, that's absolutely fine. But of course, this guy is just a con artist. And really, to be that organised, that's organised crime. And we don't know what lines have been spun to people in other countries or wherever they are to come to the Isle of Man. What tales of milk and honey. And then what happens when they get here and there's no job? So the number to remember for the Home Affairs Department, remember, is 694 300. 694 300. If you suspect anything like this, then give them a call. I think we've got David back now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, thanks.
Magic. I was just going to... Well, the lady was on there regarding Alexa and all these other gadgets you can get.
Yeah.
Can I remind people too, because the telecom is going to emerge together with Guernsey, that's going to be a big issue. Because a lot of people have these pendants, you know, in sheltered accommodation.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wear them around the neck. You can put them in a bath with you when you're having a bath. And anything that you just press them. And I just wonder whether that lady's got something like that. I know she said she was in Sight Matters. And they will actually give her all these aids that people get in the future. But I wanted to talk about the bishop, if I can.
Yeah.
And be positive on the bishop. And I wanted a little slip in about Peter Murcott as well. Not because of the bishop, just because of the Local Government Act. And if Peter's listening, I'd love him to have a look at the Act and look at Clause 5 and give him us next week, or all the local authorities, a view of what he thinks of Clause 5 will be. Because I think if the minister had some decency with her, and she could say, well, we've seen all this discussion from all the local authorities. Every one of them was the same. No, 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 remove it. Why should she do the decent thing and remove it? Or even Hooper? Or the politicians don't sign the document so it doesn't get royal assent. I mean, that's one of the things we could do. And I know the municipal met on Thursday night. I won't tell you what it was all about, but there was quite a bit of a chat for about nearly good half an hour, maybe longer on that. And everybody was of the same voice there. We're going to engage with our politicians. So the politicians out there, including the ones from Auckland and roundabout, beware, we need the answers from you. What are you going to do to support the local authorities, which the community are involved in?
So, I mean, what do you think are the chances of this actually happening, this clause actually staying in, David?
Well, there's several things. They could withdraw it themselves. The minister could not move it, and the MLCs themselves, look, would say to the House of Keys there, there are issues there. Why did we have all those local authorities in their chamber, in the Timbal chamber? There's 50-odd people upstairs. All the clerks, some of the clerks from local authorities as well. It was a great day. It was a shame we couldn't just have a cup of tea with each other and chat about different things, because I've met people I've never met before, like I said the other day there. But I still hope that we could, the MHKs would see sense as well, because I'm going to get a copy of the debate that happened on it, because it was slipped in. And it's like somebody said to me the other day, maybe they were all on their phones or on their laptops and didn't realise what was happening.
Bearing in mind that Laurie Hooper, who's behind this, Laurie Hooper was a commissioner, he was a Ramsey Town commissioner. Why would somebody who was previously a commissioner seek to undermine commissioners?
Well, that's the whole story. I'm sure he's intelligent enough to see if... It's like Tony Brown in his speech. You need to get that, Tony Brown's little comments on it there. Once you put in something that in the old days used to be may and shall, which means there's an interpretation on it. When shall goes in there, it shall be. It's an act, isn't it? And once it's approved as an act, Tony's quite right. The DOI themselves don't have to go back to Timbald, although she says she's going to go back to Timbald all the time. She said she would do several things about the 20 miles an hour speed limit, but that's not happening either. I just really am concerned, and I just wanted to put on record too, because I've met a few bishops in my time from the Isle of Man, and they've been great. Except one of them was a Liverpool supporter, so I had a bit of a concern there. But people have to realise the bishop's there for a reason. The bishop on the day, on Tuesday there, had very valid about communities, brought it back to communities. What happens if these smaller communities, small local authorities, you know, get extra things put on them? And it could end up as, hundreds of thousands of pounds worth on the ratepayers.
Well, do you think this is the back door then to Tynwald then saying we'll have north, south, east, west, just four local authorities?
I think it is. Well, somebody should ask the question to Hooper and the minister. She's on shortly, isn't she? Some of us, the brave lot, will come on and say to her, you know, what was the behind this? What did you want to do? And if it was so, you were so concerned about it, why didn't you have discussions with the local authorities individual and just have their agreements?
And I don't think it was in anybody's manifesto at the last election.
It was totally out of the blue. I mean, I missed it as well when it was originally done in the Keys. There, it never came up on my radar, but it certainly was when it came back out. And you look at the Hansard, and that's the biggest thing. So I just wonder whether Peter Murcott sometime could have a look at that bill that's running through and maybe give his opinion.
Okay.
Get free legal advice then, Andy.
Right. Appreciate it. Thanks, David. Have a good weekend.
Cheers, boy.
Bye. Cheers. Now, it's 22 minutes past 12. It was said, called a threat to democracy, would undermine trust and confidence and create an onerous financial burden. Some of the phrases that we use to describe this clause in a new piece of local authority legislation. There was a meeting on Thursday between LegCo with 16 authorities in attendance. LegCo will now decide whether to adopt, remove or amend it. Currently, this clause 5, would allow the Department of Infrastructure, which is the governing department, to impose any functions onto local authorities without financial aid, i.e. we say you pay. It denies that they would do this without consultation. Well, we'll hear from the chair of Arbury and Rushen Commissioners, Kerry Jenkins. First of all, the leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson.
I do want to give a shout out to the DOI for managing to unify every single local authority in opposition to the DOI on this. And I'm hoping that we get a fair hearing. I mean, essentially what they would like to do is completely undermine local autonomy and independence and completely rewrite the relationship between local authorities and national government. And you can't do that via an amendment. You can't do that without a proper national debate. And you can't do that without full consideration and consultation, not only of local authorities, but also of ratepayers who fundamentally fund all of this.
What do you hope the outcome of the hearing is today? Obviously, I think at the end there it got to a bit more of a compromise rather than a complete axing. So what would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see the good elements of the bill sort of progress. I'd like to see local authority reform. I'd like to see maybe Clause 5 be axed. And rather than redefine the relationship between local authorities and national government through an amendment, what we really need is a full national debate. And that needs to happen after the next election process with a Tynwald that has a fresh mandate and that has the ability to legislate on behalf of people so that the relationship between local authorities, between themselves, between ratepayers and national government is an election topic and something that people actually have that reflects the views of voters at the end of the day rather than internal departmental concerns.
Well, the principal point that our board wanted to make was that Clause 5 should be removed from the bill in its entirety. We had concerns about centralisation of power, the financial burden and unfunded mandates, the loss of local autonomy and identity, joint provision risks, weak consultation duty and the risk of precedent. So it was good to be able to have our say today, but we would call on LegCo now to delay the clauses stage to be able to give local authorities time to make further submissions.
And there was a lot in there today, and I think you raised this quite a bit, is about the regulations and that it would be the DOI that would be regulating local authorities when they are in charge of local authorities. So how do you think that would work if this bill was introduced?
So I think what we're saying is that, you know, law should be able to stand the test of time. It's not about personalities, and reassurances from this current minister mean nothing when the law is actual legislation.
Well, I wonder what you think on this. It's very political, and perhaps it's skipping over and you're thinking, well, does it really matter if the DOI tells local authorities what to do? It could be, as has been postulated many times, that we have too many local authorities, too many. So we should just have four, a north, a south, an east and a west, and the smaller authorities would just go. Some people within Tynwald, certainly within Keys, would like that to happen. And this clause has been inserted to, if you like, impose the will on the local authorities. We say you pay. So it's basically giving imposing functions onto local authorities without financial aid. So, anyway, any thoughts on this? Michelle Hayward's on, as Dave said. She's on a week on Monday. Michelle Hayward, the DOI minister, will be in, so no doubt this will come up. Next Thursday, we're live at Ramsey Grammar School in the north with the students in years 12 and 13. Robert's on now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how are you today?
Very happy. Well, the weather's a bit iffy, but it's supposed to get better.
Well, my question to you is, do we really need billionaires? Do we really need them?
Hey? I must declare an interest here, Robert. I must tell you something. I am not a billionaire.
Right.
So
okay.
I'd be safe if we don't need billionaires. Why don't you think we need billionaires, by the way?
But do you like omelettes?
Me, I love omelettes.
Well, that's okay then. You're my kind of guy.
Why don't you like billionaires, Robert? What's the matter with billionaires?
Well, I mean, do we really need them? I think Zach Polanski and a few other friends over in the UK are musing with the subject about do we really need them? I mean, essentially they harbour all of the money. They're sitting on vast amounts of rights and what do they call them? The IP, the intellectual property things that they have with Elon Musk and all the rest of them.
But I mean, billionaires have normally made their money, haven't they? Through kind of their wit, their wisdom, their intellect, and their industry. they've kind of done it. Apart from the people who inherited, of course.
Yes, but it gets weird, doesn't it? You know, you're up at that level and you're talking about various things with people and it's kind of like, well, yeah, but, you know, you have to like me for my money, essentially.
Well, you see, I'll be honest with you. I always feel a bit sorry for rich people because rich people never know whether people like them because they've got money or because they actually like them. So, are you a billionaire, Robert? Are you a billionaire, Robert?
I was last week, but I'm not this week.
It's like crypto, isn't it? That's what it is.
Well, it was more the double-deckers, but I know what you mean.
All right. Have a good weekend, Robert. It's good to hear from you.
All right,
28 minutes past 12. Well, lots of talk about Christmas cards. The man in black, the milk tray man, said, I send 50 cards a year. 50 cards a year. Well, this year, that's going to be, 90p a throw. What's that, 45-odd pounds that you're going to be... it seems politicians have confused, or are confused, and are representing their civil servants and not the electorate. Civil servants will dump as much work as they can on local authorities, says Gaz. It would seem to me that if somebody's paid £25,000 to get to the Isle of Man, they're obviously bypassing the system and travelling illegal. How did the person get here, and have they been deported as well? Well, obviously, the police, the constabulary, will know all about this, because this guy's going to be sentenced next week, the guy who was offering non-existent jobs to the Isle of Man. And it has to be said, I mean, anybody who's anybody can get onto the internet and read what you require to come to the Isle of Man. There's a big thing about it in Locate Isle of Man. It'll tell you what you need. So, are they going to be deported? Well, we'll find out next week. Regarding this immigration scare, this is 935. Regarding the text who said we need a Trump or a Farage on the Isle of Man. Trump's approval ratings are the lowest of any... Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? We're on the Isle of Man. What happens to the President of the United States is neither here nor there. Populist dog-whistling politics has no depth, no substance, because they choose to blame immigration instead of fixing problems. Yes, but 935, please tell me, what's that got to do with the Isle of Man? I mean, other politicians in other jurisdictions don't affect us, do they? On a day-to-day basis. Regarding local authorities in Port St. Mary and Rushen, when you see who the rep is. Sorry, David, don't understand what you're talking about. If you walk along Peel Road or Circular Road in Douglas on a daily basis, you'll see many illegal aliens walking up and down. They're clearly not working people either, says Colin. Well, anybody can come. It's just that you can't work without a work permit. I mean, if somebody's coming and funding themselves, then that's absolutely fine. It's whether or not somebody works illegally. That's the important thing. My daughter-in-law can't get here legally. The Isle of Man don't want to know about visas. When you asked, she was told to go through the UK. Well, certainly it costs money to come to the Isle of Man to get a visa, obviously. JK614, who's telling me there are illegal immigrants somewhere. Well, JK, don't tell me. I'm not interested where illegal aliens are. I suggest you pick up the phone, JK, if you know this for a fact, and you call the Home Affairs Ministry. Speak to Home Affairs, tell them all about it, and they maybe give you a big pat on the back. But seriously, I don't want to know where illegal aliens are or may not be. If you know that there are illegal aliens somewhere, JK, you tell the police, you tell the Home Affairs. In all honesty, where did these people find £25,000 each for fraudulent visas? How many people do you know that have £25,000 in cash? It's suspicious. Thanks, 505. I'm guessing that it was a bond, in that they would basically accrue a £25,000 debt that they would then work off with non-existent jobs. That's how it works in the UK. People come in, they're indebted straight away, or their families are indebted wherever they're coming from, and they then get into the people trafficking business. Obviously, that's going to be very, very apparent here, because we recognise people. We see people on a daily basis. The Isle of Man's a big village. We all know people. We see the same people day after day down streets in Parliament Street, in Michael Street, Station Road in Port Erin. We see people all the time. And suddenly when strange people arrive, you notice them. In the UK, you can be anonymous. It's very easy to be anonymous. It's more difficult to be anonymous here. So if you've got anything that you need to report, I suggest you call the Home Affairs or the police, 631212. I don't normally moan about the DOI, but can they now start using the road sweeper in Ramsey, especially up and around the Grove Museum area? Lots of children out later, so please be alert, drivers, says Gary in Ramsey. It's Hoptune tonight, so have you got all your chocolate ready to be dispensing it? Of course, there is a good side to this. You've got all the chocolate, a big basket of chocolate, if people come to the door and do their stuff regarding Ginny the Witch. But of course, if they don't come, you've got to eat the chocolate. Every wedding and funeral I've been to over the last few years has been secular, and I don't go to Midnight Mass and many others. So that scuppers your argument that we live in a Christian society. Thank you, H. So you're saying, H, we don't live in a Christian society. Am I right? 768? If you could confirm that. You think we don't live in a Christian society. Because the last census, a large proportion of people declared a Christian. We have more churches than any other forms of worship. Our parliament is steeped in that tradition. Tynwald Day, there's a service at St. John's. Prayers are said. We talk about the Lord of Man, who is the head of the Church of England. H, do we live in a Christian society? Do you think we live in a Christian society? Any thoughts, may I ask? Why is there so much smoking going on in Strand Street? It gives people bad chest when breathing it in on the narrow streets, says George. And the vaping as well. We're not simply a place where jobs exist. We're a home to Manx people. Immigration exacerbates all of our issues, like housing demand, for example. That's Mark on 179. And Dr. Haywood, the minister, is our MHK. Oh, yes, she's the Russian MHK. Thank you, David. And the row between the DOI and the local authorities is nothing new, Francis says. The DOI gave the bad end of the stick to everyone. The disasters have been going on for years. Look at the state of the hedges and the pavements. Well, we'll see what happens with the local authorities and whether or not this goes through. Of course, this is Mr. Hooper who put this clause in. It wasn't in anybody's manifesto, I think, last time. I can't remember seeing anybody saying we need to pull back local authorities and get the local authorities to be doing what we say. Is this because of what happened at Balladoole with the Northern authorities when Bride pulled their funding out of it? Of course, Mr. Hooper was a Ramsey commissioner, so he'll be well aware of that situation. Now, the situation is that the DOI is paying for the recycling unit at Balladoole. We called it Church of England, C of E, says George. We call what Church of England, C of E? Thanks also to Pat, who just said, traffic, caution, traffic queuing to get in and out of McDonald's, backed up to near Paul Rose Bridge lights. Yes, McDonald's has opened again. It's big news for many, many people. McDonald's has had their little refurb, painted their golden arches again, and they're open. So watch out. Surely, are they constabulary anywhere? I'm not saying the constabulary going yet and getting McDonald's, but if it's altering the traffic flow... Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, I just thought I would come on. It's just... This is just my version, and it's mine alone, you see. Now, about the bishop. Now, we've been told we're a multilingual, multinational jurisdiction. I don't know what you would call it. But everybody here, all these different nations and all the rest of it. So how many different... I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I'm not religious at all, and seeing that all these different people with these different things that they pray about and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Well, they should all be represented in government. Well, we can't do that. Because there's too many of them. It costs too much money, all the rest of it. So I think it's kind of unfair that we have a Christian society. And I think it should be stopped. I think we shouldn't have anything. Nothing at all. As I say, I'm not religious at all. My religion is my back pocket. That's the only religion I got. I've never been religious. If I can't see it, touch it, or smell it, I don't want to know about it.
But Wilf, you used to go out to sea, didn't you? You fished a lot out at sea, didn't you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so whenever the wind picked up and the sea picked up and you were caught in some seas, did you pray to anybody? Did you, you know, who did you say hello to when the weather was bad and you thought you were going
outside? No, I just said how bloody stupid I was for going out in the first place.
All right, okay.
But there's this. The other little thing I was going to talk about, I was listening to a program on the wireless the other day. Oh, no, it was on television, that's right, called The Trawlermen. And I was watching this, and they were out in they had to go out in a very rough sea, and they couldn't see very far ahead. But then all of a sudden, the captain said, we have to turn, we're too close to the windmills. And I don't know what coast this was on, but we're too close. And he said, we're not allowed anywhere near the wind turbines.
Right.
We get fined or whatever to see. And he said, that's a great pity. He said, because they've put them on the best fishing ground that we had. And it's just something to think about here.
Right. So what are they saying then, that you can't go between the wind turbines and fish? You can't do anything there?
You're not allowed anywhere near them. Not allowed to go anywhere near them, apparently.
Right.
This is what this trawler man thing had. And the last little thing was, just a little thing. Does anybody know how much, if you refuse the smart meter, how much it would cost for your man to come and read your meter instead? Anybody know how much that would be?
Now, I may be wrong, but I think it's £50.
Oh, dear, that's a lot of money.
I may be wrong, but I'm sure somewhere I've heard It's not tenpence halfpenny, put it that way. It's not 16 and yes, 6. It's quite substantial.
Yeah. Right. I suppose man and van and all this business.
Yeah.
Probably electric van as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right. Well,
good right, well, they can put whatever meter they want on my wall. I don't care.
All right. Have a good weekend, Will. Thanks for calling.
Okay, all right.
19 minutes past one. If the Northwest Area Plan gets nodded through, then in 7 years' time, the government will be voting for a bill of £200 million to build new schools and infrastructure. Not linking planning to infrastructure, I think, is bonkers. A bonkers way of creating a positive, diverse, functional housing policy. That's 928. We need to tighten up our border security, says 068. Anybody can come over on the boat with no ID. Remember the time when a rapist turned up here and there was a police hunt for him. Is that true? ID and facial recognition is required these days. It's sad, but we live in a world we don't recognise anymore. Well, certainly the chief constable would like us to know what the passenger manifests are on the steam packet. And obviously facial recognition, I think, is on its way for the borders. Certainly, is it for the sea terminal or is it for the airport? So it would seem that this is on the way, and for many, many years, I mean, of course, for many years, people used to travel under assumed names coming on the boat. Lots of the drug dealers, we didn't know who was actually coming over here. Why would you eat at McDonald's, says 467? Well, because it's a free country, 467. So, you can eat wherever you want. This is a Christian country, therefore only a Christian representative should sit in Tynwald, says this correspondent. A lot of foreigners, not from the UK, who come to work on the island and send a lot of their income back to their families abroad. Not true for everybody, but a lot of people do, which means that they're not putting much money back into the Manx system. So where's the logic in the government planning to increase the population and financial status in the future, says 004. Quite simply, 004, because a lot of the foreign workforce do jobs that Manx people simply won't do. It's as simple as that. It's a problem that they have elsewhere in Ireland and in England, that a lot of the foreign workers will do jobs that the locals, the nationals, simply won't do. It may be an unpalatable truth, but it is one. So that's one of the reasons. Putting Christian on the census doesn't specifically mean the person is a practicing, believing Christian, says 739. A lot of people will write Christian by default, as they believe that by being born here, automatically it makes them a Christian, which it doesn't. The numbers of believers are dropping every year as people either turn to atheism or alternate beliefs. I don't believe we live in a Christian society anymore, more a secular society with multi-religious demographics, says 739. Also, a message in from Ben, who just said, well, if we aren't Christian, or if we are becoming less and less Christian, whose fault is that? Surely it's down to the church to convince everybody. Sure, I mean, if congregations are dropping, that's not the population's fault. Surely that's the various churches' fault. If they don't appeal to people, it's not the people's fault.
Dreaming of a winter sun holiday without the stress of a connecting flight? Swap low temperatures and grey skies for wall-to-wall sunshine with direct flights to Tenerife from Ronald's Way, departing from November to February, including Christmas and New Year departures. Flights start from just £499 per person return, and there are child discounts of up to £200 on all flights. Even the school holidays. No stress, no stops, and more time to unwind. Visit flydirect.co.uk to book now.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Remember, remember, Douglas Fireworks on the 5th of November. This year's fireworks display in Douglas will be even bigger and better than ever with new sponsor Grant Thornton Isle of Man. The fun all kicks off at 6:15 p.m. on the promenade with the best Eco Guy competition. But please ensure all guys are registered by 6 p.m. Then at 6:30 p.m, the spectacular fireworks display will light up Douglas Bay for yet another stunning show over the water. Douglas Fireworks, Wednesday, November the 5th. Sponsored by Grant Thornton Isle of Man and supported by Manx Radio.
Manx Radio Sport.
On a run of three games unbeaten for the first time this season, can FC Isle of Man add to that tally in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend? The Ravens return to the bowl this Saturday, hoping to maintain their recent uplift in form, with Longridge Town set to be their latest visitors. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Wilf can join our Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster congregation, 8 o'clock, Onken Scouts Hall. Tell him he needs to bring his own colander to wear. Everyone is more than welcome. You're not a Jedi, are you? Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
How are you doing, Andy?
Well, very well, thanks. I could do with some better weather.
Yeah, we all could. We all could. But then again, it's just turned, hasn't it? Autumn, winter. Yep, can't expect any sunshine now. Anything would be a bonus. I'm just listening to Wilf. I love listening to Wilf. He's full of common sense, isn't he? I did point out a couple of weeks ago about the Trawlerman programme, didn't I? Do you remember?
You mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's emphasising exactly what I said. And when I did point that out on your programme, I asked if Orsted could come back on and answer. The question I had, is it true or is it false? I've been doing a bit more checking and it's true. From everything I can gain from skippers who have got licences to fish in the North Sea, you're not allowed to go anywhere near them. You're not allowed to fish in them unless it's with a rod, I believe.
Right.
So it completely does what I suggested, which is, it finishes your fishing industry.
So literally. You can, just to reiterate though, you can go between the wind turbines if you're fishing with a rod.
Yeah, that's what I gather. But you're advised to stay away. But you're not banned from going in as long as you fish with a rod and not trawling nets,
right,
or dredges. Seemingly, they're worried about maybe dragging up cables and things like that. I don't know.
Of course, yeah, but, yeah.
But common sense says to you straight away that you're going to lose your fishing industry, which is yet another stake driven into the Isle of Man's reasons for going for the damn things in the first place.
Well, presumably the government know this.
Well, the government know a lot of things, but they don't seem to do anything in the right directions, do they? I mean, this is probably one of the worst governments we've had in donkey years. I've never heard so many complaints about so many things, Andy, have you?
Well, so, I'll be honest with you, everybody says that the government, you know, this government's the worst that there's ever been, so, I mean, nothing really changes. Most governments are unpopular.
This one is really emphasised, though, isn't it? I mean, I was watching something on telly the other night, I think it was in Russia, where a woman was arrested for singing a song about a soldier. And she was put in jail for God knows how long. Now, this Michelle Hayward is trying to bring in a private bill that you can't even wear a T-shirt with things on like that. And it just emphasises how stupid we seem to be hiding something and going down stupid routes to hide something else. And I'm wondering what it is. Because none of these things make sense, do they? I mean, would you like to be in a situation where all of a sudden you're arrested and it was just the way you dressed in the morning. You put the wrong T-shirt on, but you've been arrested for the day.
Well, luckily,
I mean,
that doesn't happen here, so it doesn't matter.
No, but that's No, but that's the suggestion of the bill which is coming in. You want, you know, you don't know whether you're going to be in one of these zones or anything, do you?
Oh, this is the restricted area thing you're talking about. Yeah.
Of course it is, yeah. But, I mean, these are what happen in communist countries and countries about 200 or 300 years behind our time. We're supposed to be a little bit more civilised now, aren't we? It's a bit like Wilf was just saying before. We're worrying about Christians, but if atheism is the way it is, you know, the majority nowadays, I would say, then why even worry about it? They seem to have a monopoly, is what Wilf was suggesting, wasn't he? So in a sense, you've got to agree with him. They have got a monopoly, haven't they?
Who's got a monopoly?
Well, the government only say prayers in the morning.
Yeah.
They don't do any other type of religion. So I suppose it's just looking in one direction, which is what Wilf was saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, are you religious, Eddie?
No. I can remember back when I was a kid, I could tell you the colour of the altar at every single season because I was a choir boy at school.
Right.
Things like that. I know it's hard to believe, Andy, but there you go.
My word.
I know. But as time went on, you learn, you watch all around you and you see what's what and so on. I can remember one decision. I had two children and my in-laws and grandparents, so forth, were all saying, oh, you've got to get them christened. I said, well, I will when they're 18, and they agree with it. Now, by the time both of my children got to the age of 18, they said, no way do I want to be christened. The choice was theirs. And I think we live in that type of a society now where people want to make their own choices and not be pushed into certain things, yeah. Don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm just trying to get over the fact you were a choir boy, to be quite honest, Eddie. I can't.
I know, and me.
All right. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend now.
See you, mate. Bye.
8 minutes before one. I'm not a religious person, says 044044, but I think we should stick to tradition and keep the bishop. It's interesting, given the fact that Laurie Hooper now thinks it will be a loss for the Isle of Man if the bishop were to be withdrawn altogether, which is what the Church of England, the Diocese of York, intimate, and that was where the Bishop of Soda and Man comes from. But it's a very real prospect which the Church of England would consider. Now, the person who knows all this back to front, our religious correspondent, Judith Lay.
We would see the church as wanting to have influence in a good way. You know, we see the island life as altogether, that there's no distinctions. But anyway, what I'm really at a loss to understand is what damage is being done to us by the bishop having a vote. You know, there isn't any evidence that the bishop has used their vote frivolously over the years to disrupt the business of government. Indeed, the select committee's done some very thorough research going back over the voting record of some 5 bishops. And when they voted against the will of the Keys, they've certainly not been alone in doing so. And, you know, with the greatest respect to Mr. Hooper, I think he's mistaken, you know, if he believes that the bishop's vote can be removed and then, you know, it'll probably be business as usual for the Diocese of Soda and Man. It won't. The Archbishop of York has said quite clearly that he will look, the future of the diocese will come under intense scrutiny if the bishop's vote is withdrawn. You know, that's not just a bit of sort of low-grade blackmail. It is a reflection of the importance that's placed upon keeping a voice for a balancing independent presence in government who's got a wide experience, a unique role in the community, and no political agenda. But it's keeping that voice that will keep that presence there.
That's Judith Lay, and of course you can catch Jude 9:30 Sunday morning with Praise. And Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Can I just talk about the fellow that was on the news earlier about the equality and having the disabled champion? There was a disabled champion in the last government who did absolutely nothing. She's now not in there. There's no equality on the Isle of Man. If there was, why have I been waiting for 6 years to get on a bus? And that's when they had a disabled champion. You know, it's just ridiculous. I'll be on next Monday to ask Michelle Hayward the same question. Can I just get the same thing every time off everybody? You know, that you've got to wait and all these things need doing. But, you know, you're not actually getting anywhere. And can I just say that when I was on the news a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, if the same people want to hurl all the abuse at me online and by email and text, they can carry on, because I'm going to carry on. They're not going to stop me with their abuse.
Why would anybody abuse you, Eric? What sort of stuff happened? What do they say?
Well, claiming that there's the usual thing, that anybody on a mobility scooter is lazy, and it's only disabled people are in wheelchairs, and trying to claim about all the benefits that I've received. You know, how do they know what benefits I've received? The abuse was terrible, really, and it puts you off doing anything else. I mean, I'm fighting this for myself, but for other people as well. You know, but if they want to abuse me, you can carry on.
All right, Eric, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Right, okay, thanks.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. Andy said on Timbald Day, Timbald Hill, there are representatives of churches, including the Jewish faith. No Islamic or Hindu or other faith representatives. Why is that? I don't know, Andy. Apparently, is it £40 now if you have to have your meter read and you're not having a smart meter? We'll find out what the definitive cost is, and well, that's it for this week. Thanks for being in touch. Remember, out of hours, 682-631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Michelle on the phones today. Have a great weekend.
WINT